So I'm going to start this morning with a couple of statements from God's Word, on God's Word. And I want you to think about these during the message, and then I'm going to come back to those at the end. And we'll go through some scripture. I'm going to cite some scripture. You're welcome to look it up. We'll have it on the board for you, on the screen, I should say, as well. And then we'll finish up sometime later this afternoon. No, I'm just kidding. I've been talked to, if you will. Anyway, I've got three key points. Not too bad, huh? Three key points this morning, if you're taking notes, and I'll highlight those as we go. So let me make kind of this first statement. Out of the words known to man, there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Out of the words known to man, there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Second statement, there's never been an individual or group whose words carry more authority than God's. There's never been an individual or group whose words carry more authority than God's. All right, so let's think about this for a few minutes before we look at the scripture itself, but think about philosophy, some of the other thoughts that go on in the world. Philosophy is an example, unending questions. Compare, how do they compare to God's word? Sometimes going through philosophy, my head spins a little bit, doesn't it? And so I think that fails in comparison to God's word. And what about science? Concepts, fundamental beliefs? I don't think that measures up either to God's word. I know the experiments I try to do in school, somehow they never work right. What science says, how they should work. Probably my issue, right? But they didn't seem to work quite right. And how about all the speakers from all ages? And if you compare those to God's word, the words, some would say, are like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, to use some scripture. Scripture language, that is. But think about it. It was his word that earth and galaxies came into existence. Yes, friends. And take his word then to the next level with the power to change lives, the power to help us in our time of need, moments of trouble, if you will, the power to instruct us how to live righteously and tell us even when we are unrighteous. There's no words spoken or written that have the same effect as the power of God's word. So let's look at some scripture this morning, starting in, of course, Genesis 1. The first key point in this morning's message, God's sovereignty and power are magnified in creation. So recently I had the opportunity to travel many states across the U.S., Canada, and so on, and found not only is it beautiful, but it's huge. It's vast, mountain after mountain, forest upon forest, wild animals, way too numerous to count, even identify. And you know, you're just compelled to think about his fingerprint all over everything, the intelligent designer. You're just compelled to think about him. And so I want to look at Genesis 1, 1 to 3, and then we'll look at some other verses in Genesis as well. But our God is a God who speaks, and when he speaks, creation happens. So verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, right? And God said. From the very opening words in Scripture, we see the reality here. God's word doesn't just communicate, it's creating. His speech doesn't simply describe reality, it forms reality. Think about the power of that for a moment. Unlike our words can often evaporate into the air, do you feel like that sometimes? When God speaks, galaxies are formed, oceans, life emerges itself. And you see the pattern we start to see develop here. And God said, and it was so. And this repeats throughout the creation account. If we look at verse 6, for example, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And then in verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And then again in verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth. And so it goes. I counted 10 times, in fact, in the first chapter of Genesis alone that says, and God said. And notice, God's speech is immediately followed by the creation, the manifestation of what he declared. There's no gap, there's no delay, no struggle between his word and its fulfillment. Tells us something pretty profound about divine speech. It does carry authority and power, unlike anything in human existence, human experience. So a study of the creation account causes us to pause at the, there's a Hebrew word there, bara, to create. The word's unique in that its only subject in Scripture is God. So William Vines in his dictionary says, bara is of profound theological significance since it has only God as its subject. Only God can create in the sense implied by the word bara. Expresses, the word expresses creation out of nothing. So we may call ourselves creative, yes, we can be creative in what we do, but we cannot do what this word describes. So Genesis 1, we find bara used three times, and it's in Genesis 1 where matter and energy are created, Genesis 1:21, where life itself, the breath of life, is created, and Genesis 1:27, where man in the image of God was created. So only God can create out of nothing. How many recall the law of conservation of mass? Do you remember that? Okay. Very good. So it's a statement. I still remember this, you know, from high school, actually. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. A core principle in science states that in a chemical reaction, the total mass of the reactants, those are the substances present at the beginning, will be equal to the total mass of the products, the subjects formed at the end. So, in simpler terms, you can say that matter can change forms or be rearranged, but the total amount of matter remains constant. Science doesn't create, folks. Matter's just rearranged. What does it tell us about our God? It reveals his absolute sovereignty over all creation. Nothing resists his word. Nothing is too difficult for him to accomplish. If God could speak light into darkness before light existed, imagine what his word can do in the darkest situations of our own lives. If his voice could separate waters and raise dry land, what barriers in your life might his word be able to move? We don't worship a distant deity, do we? Set the world in motion and then stepped away. but we worship a God whose voice still echoes through creation today, whose word still holds authority over every molecule, every moment. And that brings us to the second point this morning in our discussion. His work continues through his word. His work continues through his word. And the New Testament takes this understanding of God's creative word and reveals something even more astonishing to us. So, John 1, verses 1 to 3 states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John here is deliberately echoing Genesis, but introduces a new profound revelation to us. The word that created everything was not just a sound from God's mouth, but it was itself divine, a person of the Trinity, in the form of a person of the Trinity. And this word became flesh and dwelt among us in John 1, verse 14. And Jesus Christ is identified as the eternal word through whom all creation came into being. And Paul elaborates on this in Colossians 1, 15 to 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. So three truths that are revealed in this passage alone for us today. First, Jesus was the agent of creation. Everything was made through him. Second, Jesus is the purpose of creation. Everything was made for him. And third, Jesus is the sustainer of creation. In him, all things hold together moment by moment. So creation isn't just a one-time act, is it? It's a continuous work that goes on. Let me give you an example here. Louis Giglio, some of you may be familiar with him, put some things together. And so I'm going to use a little bit of that this morning as some information that he gathered that helps make a few points. If you think about the habitable zone that we live in on Earth, Earth is not too close to the sun or too far away. It's placed in just the right spot, even though it's 93 million miles away, placed in just the right spot. And they've pulled together 15 factors, scientists that is, and astronomers, that make the conditions perfect for life on Earth. Like, how much water do we have? The moon's pull on Earth. Our spot in the Milky Way galaxy and more. The fact that the Earth meets these conditions is so amazing that some astronomers estimate the chances of there being another planet like ours in the universe to be about 1 in 700 quintillion, or 1 in 7 followed by 20 zeros. If you write that out, pretty big number. Pretty big number. They would say 1 in 7 to the 20th power. Some of you may be familiar with that in numbers, but it's just a unfathomable number to imagine. So the same word that created the world sustains it. Everything held together by the power of Christ's word, it is held together by his word. God didn't create the world and then abandon it. His word is the ongoing force today that keeps everything together. Orbit of the planets, to the beating of our own hearts. It's true. And think about what this means. The same voice that said, "Let there be light," is the voice that called Lazarus, "Come forth." Same creative power that formed the mountains taught on those mountains. Same word that separated the waters walked on those waters. And most wonderfully, the same creator who breathed life into Adam's nostrils breathed his last on a cross for our own salvation, then conquered death and resurrection. Creation, redemption flow from the same divine word. So in terms of application for us today, no matter what you face, God's word still holding us together, holding you together, holding the earth, the planets, the galaxy, all these things together. It sustains us, our struggles, challenges. And that leads us now to the third point I want to make this morning. The power of his word to change lives. He has the power to change lives. Let's look at Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Notice how the psalmist reveals this reality, that the vast cosmos exists because God spoke. The stars, planets, galaxies, objects of immense mass, energy, huge numbers. I think they calculated, they tried to anyway, astronomers and so on, the grains of the sand. There's more stars than the grains of the sand on Earth. And that's about some number to the 25th power, I think, something like that. It's just unimaginable, folks. And look at the wording in verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So it's important to talk about these events in the present tense. Instead of saying God created the world, I think we can say the word is God's creation. The word is God's creation. All of this responding instantly to God's voice. What power, what authority. So what implication for our own lives? He's still creating, as I mentioned. He's still at work. And that's a good thing. I know I see quite a bit of chaos still in our world. Sometimes you can feel like maybe the world is quite a mess. And at times we can feel like maybe we've got a mess to take care of ourselves. That happens, right? That happens in life. Whether it's something we've brought on ourselves or something brought on by our aging bodies. Or the unexpectedness just of life that we all encounter. It'd be easy to convince someone that the world is still, in a sense, formless and empty, and chaos still reigns. But the presence of that chaos simply means God is not finished working. God is still working. Still creating his word to speak into our world and into our lives, giving us his Holy Spirit to help bring order out of that chaos. God has called this world, he's not called this world to be chaotic, I should say, or fragmented or in conflict. And God will stay with it till it becomes what it has been created to be. God doesn't cause the chaos. But God can certainly work through the chaos for his purposes, his purpose. But God is not the only one with work yet to be done on earth. As his creation, we have a role to play, don't we? We have a role as well. In terms of roles, yes, it's the Creator's job to speak, but it's also the created's job to listen and respond. God says, "Let there be light," and the creation responds with light. God says, "Be fruitful and multiply," and remember, the Hebrews did that. And God says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," and people are impacted by his word, and lives are changed. But we can't respond as God's creation if we aren't listening to the Creator. We're called to listen, to pay attention, to look for answers to the question, what does this tell us about God? And then tell others what we discover, your testimony. God is not sitting back waiting for us to get it right. Doesn't have to be exactly perfect. God can use that. He is active in the world, working to make it the creation he called it to be, working with each of us. And we should be active doing the same thing for him. I know there's still chaos out there. So many bad things happen, as they say, to good people. So much suffering. Sickness, kind of a mess at times. So many questions that seem to go unanswered. So many endings of dreams, promises, of lives. But the good news of our story is that God is a God of beginnings, not just repetitions or moving pieces around or rehashing old patterns. God is a God of beginnings, of order in the midst of chaos, of resurrections. To all of our questions, God provides an answer for us. It's not scientific. It's not historical. It's something so much more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Our God is doing. He is actively working, changing lives through his word. For instance, God speaking life into existence cannot be explained still, right, by the ways of the world. Yet, we're here because God spoke life into all of us. The word of the Lord that shaped creation is an action which alters reality forever. God created all things through his word, and his creation did not stop with the creation of humankind. He continues to speak new words into existence every single moment. Think about it. Every infant child, that's a word spoken by God. Every new blooming flower, we need only stop and listen to let God speak. He's always speaking something new, fresh into the world. New animals, insects, and so on. Stop and listen to what God is speaking to us. You know, as I was preparing the message, I recalled a time when I was leading a troop, Boy Scout troop in Middlebury. And I had the opportunity to lead a group of boys from Middlebury to hike through northern New Mexico at a place called Philmont. It's a huge scout ranch there. And toward the end of our almost 100-mile hiking adventure, about 2 weeks, we camped one evening in a grove of aspens near the top of what they call Mount Baldy, about 12,000 feet. And we spread apart to spend time in silence to reflect on the time in the wilderness. And I still remember as I was laying in my sleeping bag, complete silence except for the wind blowing in the trees. And you're kind of overwhelmed. You're just overwhelmed by that sheer wind, the noise whistling in the trees. I'd already seen some gorgeous sunsets, rivers, wilderness for sure. But for whatever reason that night, that quietness, except for the sound of that wind and trees, still remember realizing the depth of his love through his creation. And we can still fill our lives with distractions and information. We can read all the magazines and books that explain how God created the world. But to truly discover it for yourself, let God speak to you. Let God speak himself to you. Creation's not a one-time, one-moment event. Continues to take place every day, every moment. His word is alive, filling all things around us. In the beginning, God. You think of anything more comforting than the fact that God has been at the beginning of all things? Not just the creation of life, but God was there when other things come into life. God sits at the beginning of each and every one of us, at the inception of every relationship, every idea, every belief, every smile, every laugh. God is there. You know, I still work at letting God speak, but begins by giving him time, quiet time. Quiet yourself. Learn to listen. Let God then speak something new and fresh into your life. As our passage says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him and realize God's love for us in creation. It is beyond our ability to fully grasp, comprehend, or be able even to explain. But there's peace that comes in hearing the word, allowing it to become part of us, ingrained within us, and in the way we live. So finally, friends, what's our response to his living word? Isaiah 55, 10 through 11 tells us, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. His word never returns empty. It accomplishes exactly what it is set out to do. And we're called to respond to his word, to receive it into our hearts, and to allow it then to bear fruit in our lives. Are we taking the time to read, meditate, listen to God's word? Do we allow it to shape our lives, transform us? His word is living, it's active, not just a book to read, it's a tool. He uses it to change us from the inside out. So in creation, God's word was the ultimate expression of his power. And that same word, again, is at work today. His word is the power to create, sustain, transform. Let us honor and cherish the word of God, for in it lies the very power that does hold all things together, as we said. I'm going to close with those two statements again. Do you remember them? Out of all the words known to man, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. The second, has never been an individual or group whose words carry more authority than God's word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, July 4th, weekend, we celebrate freedom. Freedom is a light that attracts those in darkness, seeking to be free, and free in different ways. Now, Ronald Reagan maybe said it a little different. We learned then that the God-given love of freedom that fills every human heart with strength is the greatest force the world has ever known. No empire, no tyrant, no ruling party can resist it forever. That was in 1988. And Matthew 5:14 does remind us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We'll have a prayer team in the back of the sanctuary this morning, ready to pray with you for any needs you may have. And perhaps you've been thinking this morning, as I've been talking and preaching, I'm ready to turn the driver's wheel of my life over to Christ. I made some pretty good mess out of it. Need his power to help me. I'm ready to give my life to him, to obey him, to serve him, to honor him with my life. The prayer team is ready for you. Do that this morning. If God is speaking to you, do it today, friend. There's no better time than now. And there's a reason. There's a reason for everything. Everything that he does. If he's speaking to you this morning to follow him, that's certainly reason enough. And we know his word, as we read, does not return empty. Make the decision today. Step out. Pray with one of the prayer team folks in the back this morning. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. What a great way to celebrate his freedom that he gives us, the true freedom Christ brings to us. And I thank God every day for who he is in my life. Who knows where I would be. I know I wouldn't be here without Christ, that's for sure. All right, Father, we thank you. We thank you for just who you are, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for your creation, Lord, what you did. It just is unfathomable, Lord, even to imagine what you can accomplish through what you spoke, Lord. So we thank you that you've given us the word, Lord, the text of what you want us to know, each and every word, Lord. And so we thank you for how transformative your power is, Lord, and how your word changes things to reality, Lord. Be with us as we go, Lord, and we thank you again and just praise you this morning. I pray. There are those here that heard you, Lord, heard you to come to you, Lord. You're open. Your arms are always open, Lord, to receive. Receive those in need, Lord. I pray they make that decision today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.